Welcome to the Carter Report Today with Pastor John Carter. Our topic today is, I'm safe, but under repair.
Hello, friend. Welcome today to the Carter Report. I'm John Carter, and today we're talking about the most important subject in the whole wide world, the one true holy gospel of Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." John Carter reports, "We have seen God's power as the gospel of Christ has been proclaimed in Africa, India, Russia, Ukraine, Cuba, El Salvador, and many other places. We invite you to partner with us in proclaiming Jesus Christ."
To God be the glory. Great things He has done.
Write today to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. That's the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. In Australia, write to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. That's the Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. Thank you for your generous support. We look forward to hearing from you soon. May God richly bless you.
I'd like to give special greetings today to my dear old friends, and they probably won't like the old bit, but my dear friends, Danny and Yvonne Shelton. We've traveled the world preaching the gospel of Christ. We've been on 3ABN, that magnificent outreach program. I worked it out just last night. Danny, for 37 years. 37 years, we've been partners in the greatest work in all the world, the preaching of the holy gospel of Christ. Now, today, it's my privilege to introduce to you another old friend, Dave Dino. We got to know Dave in the great city of the angels, Los Angeles. And Dave's voice went out over the sound waves, and he was known by millions of people. And Dave was reaching out to help people with the gospel of Christ. And so we want to say to Dave, thank you for joining us today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are watching the Carter Report right now, when you hear the questions asked, it's going to be the voice that is loved by millions of people, the famous voice of Dave Dino. So welcome, Dave.
I'm Dave Dino, and I'll be asking the questions. I'm so glad to be back with you, Pastor Carter, with another program that has relevance for our uncertain times in which we find ourselves. It's a pleasure to be back with you today. When we look around the nation and around the world, God's church is involved in a real warfare. God's gospel soldiers often look battered and bruised. Are God's people sinless and without faults in their lives?
Now, there are two words that we got to get straight. And let me promise you something. When we get these two words worked out properly and in their right sequence, we're going to be just the happiest people in all the world. And the gospel is not good advice. A lot of people think the gospel is good advice. Some people think it's just music. Hey, well, we got gospel music. Well, that's fine. Not talking about that today. But the word gospel is the Greek word that means good news. And today I'm here to tell you some good news. Now, there are two words you got to get worked out. One is the word standing, and the other word is state. And the Bible tells me that in Christ I have a perfect standing, even though my state is anything but perfect. Now, I'm going to go to my favorite book in the Bible, but I'm not quite sure which book is my favorite book in the Bible. But let's try Romans chapter 8, verses 1 down to 4. Here it is. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. When I'm in Christ Jesus, when I come as a sinner to the cross, and when I repent of my sins, and I accept Christ as my Savior, I am not condemned. I have a perfect standing. He says, those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, when a person comes to Christ, there is a change in the life, and God starts to change the state. He says, for the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Our flesh is weak. The Bible says, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when Christ comes into my life, I want to tell you something. God makes me into a new person. He starts to change my state. And that is a process. It's called sanctification. But when I come to Christ, I have a perfect standing with God because of the death of Christ for our sins. Now, who was the person who wrote these words here in Romans chapter 8? This person was Paul, and he was a Pharisee. Now, what did the Pharisee believe? They believed that they were saved by keeping the commandments of God. They had a saying that when all Israel perfectly kept the law of God, the Messiah would come. That is why, my friend, they persecuted Christ and they persecuted all those who thought differently to them. But the Bible teaches when I come to Christ, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, I have a perfect standing with God. I'm right with God right now. I'm ready to die. Some people say, you know, I'm getting ready. Well, listen, my friend, if you're dying, you don't want to be getting ready. You want to be ready. And so I'm telling you today, it's not a case of getting ready. It's a case of being ready and staying ready because of the good news of Christ.
You were brought up around boats and ships. How does the ship Kanimbla help us understand the true gospel?
Well, it was June 15, and the year was 1952, and I was a kid growing up on the banks of the Brisbane River in the city of Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. My father told me the story because my father used to work out of the Cancross Dry Dock. During the war years, my father was involved with our allies, mainly the Americans, in keeping Australia free from the Japanese. And my dad would tell, he'd take me out there as a tiny little boy to see some of the warships that came in, all beaten up, all broken up, sometimes with kamikaze planes in the side. And they came into the dock so that they could be repaired. But let me tell you folks something, and I want you to hear this. When you get inside the dock, you're safe, but you're not sound. Now, there was a ship by the name of the Canimbla. My dad told me about this. The Canimbla was a ship of 11,000 tons, and off the coast of Australia, off the coast of Caloundra, it went aground. The ship refused to come around and obey the helm. It seemed as though the ship was going to founder and sink. And so they sent two tugs. One was called the Carlock. I remember the Carlock. There were souls in peril. The ship had sent out an SOS, save our souls. And then the Canimbla, badly beaten up with holes in a helm, was taken into the Cancross dock. My father helped to bring the ship into the dock. So he knew a bit about ships. Now, the Canimbla, like those warships, was beaten up. She was pretty much a broken ship. But let me tell you, folks, something. When the ship got into the dock, the ship was safe. And when I come to Christ and I'm in the dock of the love of God, I may have holes through me. But through the gospel of Christ, I'm safe, because then I have a perfect standing with God. So I want you to know this. You may be feeling a bit bad about things, but I want you to know that the grace of God is greater than all of our sins. The captain of the Canimbla was a gentleman by the name of Captain Snowball. You couldn't make up this story, could you? If he was in charge of a ski team, okay, Captain Snowball. But here you have the captain of a ship, a passenger ship, and it's Captain Snowball. And he said, "I thought it would never happen to me, but there is always danger around the corner when you are at sea. At least," he said to the passengers, "at least you are safe tonight in dry dock." The ship was safe, but the ship wasn't sound. It needed a lot of repairs. We are safe. We have a perfect standing with God because of Christ in justification, but we're not sound. We got a lot of holes in us, and we need a lot of repair work.
How do we discover God's great saving truths?
I have many wonderful Roman Catholic friends. My old dad was a Roman Catholic. I could have been almost a Roman Catholic priest. Because my father came from a strong Roman Catholic Irish family. And so what I'm saying today is not slightly critical of my Roman Catholic friends. The Roman Catholic Church teaches this, that we discover truth through the voice of the church. Did you hear this? The voice of the church, the Pope and the hierarchy. Now, I also have some great Mormon friends. And they believe they've really got another Bible. They believe in the Bible as far as it is correctly translated. But they have other books, including the Book of Mormon. And they believe that a later revelation is better than an earlier revelation. So they've got a later revelation, and it really supersedes the Holy Bible. But let me tell you this today. I want to make this ever so plain. My authority and the authority of my church is not a hierarchy. It's not a church leader. It is not a pope. My authority is the holy word of the holy God. I believe in the gospel as it is taught in the Bible. Let me tell you a little thing about my church. I'm an Adventist Christian. My church in 1888 had a big crisis. They had a special conference in the city of Minneapolis. I know it well because in 1988, I was asked to be the night speaker for a series of meetings to commemorate the great conference that was held in the city of Minneapolis. Now, back in 1888, they had some controversies going. Would you believe it? They were fighting over the law in Galatians. And some church leaders said, it means this. Other church leaders said, no, it means this. And so they were confused. So they turned to a special woman in their midst. Her name was Ellen White. And they said, hey, you're a prophet. You tell us what it means. Now, you just tell us what it means and we'll... She said, I'm not going to tell you. They said, you had a vision about it. She said, I did. And I've forgotten it and I've lost it. What? Well, what are we going to... She said, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. And go to the Bible and the Bible alone. I say to you today, my friend, we believe in going to the Bible. The Bible and the Bible alone. You all know about Martin Luther and how Martin Luther stood before the Diet at Worms before the Holy Roman Emperor. He was being tried for his faith and he was being tried over the very issue of church authority and the issue of the truth of the gospel. And they said to him, will you give up your ideas and will you submit to the church? Now, this is what Martin Luther said. Listen carefully. I cannot submit my faith either to the Pope or to the councils because it is clear as the day that they have frequently erred and contradicted each other. Unless, therefore, I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture, I cannot and I will not recant or retract. For it is unsafe for a Christian to speak against his conscience. Here I stand, for I can do no other. May God help me. Amen. Therefore, my friend, our authority in my church, my authority is not my authority. My authority is the teachings of the Holy Word of God. Not the voice of the church, the voice of the Holy Bible.
What does the Bible say about our standing and our state?
That is a profound question. Because if you get them confused, you're just going to be a pretty unhappy person. And I want you to be the happiest people in the world. The Bible tells me this. Here you got two words, standing and state. My standing, because of Christ, because of his death for my sins on the cross, because of the gift of justification through faith, my standing with God is 100% perfect. How does that sound to you, my friend? My standing is 100% perfect, but my state, that's another thing. That's another thing. Now, I'm going to turn over here to Romans chapter 3. Some say this is the greatest chapter in all the Bible. It's one of the most profound chapters in all the Bible. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, so just follow along with me. Now, I'm going to read this and I'm going to make some comments as we go along. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now, we know that whatever law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law cannot save you. People say, oh no, but if I keep the law, that's... No, no, no. The Bible tells me that the law cannot save me because the law points out the great truth that we are sinners in need of the grace of God. Now, I'm going to read verses 21 to 26, And I want you to hang in there, and I'm going to give a little commentary as we go along. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There is no difference. If today you say to me, John Carter, I'm not ready to die because I'm not good enough. This is the good news of the gospel. If you truly believe in Christ now, God will impute to you the perfect righteousness of Christ, and you will have a perfect standing with God. This is why it's called the gospel, because it's not good advice, it's good news. The next verse says, for all have sinned, that's you and me, and fall short of the glory of God. It says, we've sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. That's present continuous text, tense in that text. It says we fall short of the glory of God. We are falling short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough. Therefore, our state is totally insufficient and imperfect. Your state is imperfect. There are no sinless people, but we have a sinless Savior. And when we come to Him and we truly believe in Christ and repent of our sins, we get a perfect standing with God and we are declared righteous. You say, it's too hard to believe. Well, believe it, my friend, believe it, and you'll see the glory of God. Let me keep reading. Being justified or declared righteous. That's what the word justify means. It doesn't mean to make righteous. It means to declare righteous. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. What does this mean? It means by an atoning sacrifice. He came and He stood in our place and He tasted the wrath of God against unrighteousness and sin, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I just get carried away with this. It's exciting. It tells me that God's got to be just. I want you to read these verses. I want you to think about these verses. You say, what does it mean that God's got to be just? Well, God just can't say to the sinner, oh, it's okay, forget it, you've done this. You've committed adultery, you're a liar, you're a cheat. Hey, just forget it. God can't do this because God is a righteous and a holy God. What God says is this: I'm going to come down in the person of my Son. And hanging on the cross was the Son of God, the Creator of the universe. And He took our sins. He took my sins. He took your sins. And He tasted the wrath of God against sin. Thus, God is just. And at the same time, God says to the repenting, believing sinner, I now declare that you are standing in a new relationship to me. You have a perfect standing with God, and I impute to you my perfect righteousness. It's almost too hard to believe. It's almost too hard to believe. Now, there's another text that sort of amazes me too. I try to get people to read this book of Romans. Some say it's the greatest book ever written. Romans chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. It says this, Romans 4, Are you listening? Listen, listen up. But to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. This is New King James Version. Other translations say, God justifies the wicked. That's a scandal. God declares that the wicked is righteous? Or does God declare that the wicked is in a new relationship to God and that he has the imputed righteousness of Christ? Listen to it. Verse 5 says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted as righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Listen to me. I'm talking as a dying man to dying men and women. We're a race of sinners. We're under the condemnation of the law. But the Bible tells me Christ came and made a perfect atoning sacrifice for my sins. And if I come to him in true faith and repentance, God gives me a new standing. And that is a standing where I'm not condemned and I am considered by heaven as totally sinless. I receive the imputed righteousness of Christ. I am justified. Justified does not mean to make righteous, as taught in the Council of Trent. It means to declare righteous. Believe it, my friend, and you will see the glory of God. Now, part two, which is possibly the most important part of this talk, is coming up in a few seconds. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story of Mother Teresa and her search for faith. Join us at the Carter Report, the good news of the gospel, in just a few moments.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.